It's Thursday, May 10th, and the Bucks head coaching search is in full swing, and pretty much anyone who's ever coached for the Spurs is in the interview process. How long will this thing drag out? To the Brewers, they embark on a 7-game West Coast road trip. We'll see if the offense can finally get it going. And there's a new establishment in downtown Milwaukee. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg podcast, episode 285? 286?
Somewhere in there.
Choose your own adventure, ladies and gentlemen. Mitch on the ones and twos. Mitch, how are you?
I'm good.
Awesome. I'm good. Anyways.
I'm good.
SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You guys know that. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever you prefer.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Exactly.
You can always follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, yes.
Get it there as well. I am at Mitch Ross MKE.
SnowTapWI over here. I said all the socials, but you may have missed me say that. But that's okay. That's all right. Hey.
I'm busy.
The people got to know. I can't get over 700 followers. No matter how much I try, I can't get over 700. I will never get over 700.
Like, it's like the Cavs or the Raptors against LeBron.
Exactly.
It's just a beast you cannot overcome.
Exactly. The 700 is my LeBron. The 700 is my LeBron. That's exactly correct. So we're going to talk about the Bucks coaching search as well as maybe a little NBA playoffs sprinkled in there. Talk about the interesting Shaq and Charles Barkley debate and then go into the Brewers West Coast swing and talk through what's upcoming because it's not easy for Milwaukee by any shape of the imagination.
No, it's not.
And then finish off with Silk Downtown opening up tonight. So that we'll talk about what that changes the landscape of the city of Milwaukee. Does it potentially mean that things like all-star games, national conventions are more likely to come to the city of Milwaukee?
Yeah, if you connect the dots here, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe. You got to connect the dots. All right, so the Bucks are looking for a coach, and they're really looking all over the place. As you kind of mentioned, it is a litany of names, a lot of Spurs to be thrown out there. Mike Budenholzer, a favorite of the podcast, was one of the names. Steve Clifford, the former Hornets coach. Monty Williams is coming in. Becky Hammond's coming in for an interview. James Borrego was going to be interviewed, but then he got the job for the Charlotte Hornets.
Butchered that one a little bit, but I'll let it slide.
That's okay.
Doesn't matter. He's out of the race.
We're not
worried
about him. And am I forgetting anybody? Messina. Editor Messina.
Editore or whatever.
Editore Messina. He interviewed for the job last Saturday. And Budenholzer was Tuesday. Clifford was Monday. I don't know if anyone interviewed Wednesday. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything from Woj.
Not sure.
Sometimes that stuff leaks
out. I'm not too worried about the day-to-days.
Yeah.
I just need it to be over with.
Right. You're kind of getting antsy, right?
Well, not really yet.
When do you get antsy? Like Monday? If they don't have a coach.
I think by this time next week, if we don't have this done, I'm going to start to be getting pissed off.
Right.
Because then it's turned into the GM search a little bit.
Absolutely.
Where you have this huge pool. And, you know, which is fine. I don't have a problem with, you know, nobody on this interview list. I'm, you know, devastated. You know, I really don't want Monty Williams. I'm not going to lie.
No.
But other than that, I mean, I could probably survive it if any of those people ultimately got the job, I guess. I mean.
Right.
You know, and we'll talk about Becky Hammond. We'll get into that, too.
Sure.
But I think that, you know, just the way the GM search, you know, this time last year, I'd gone to Florida to see our boy Murph. And I was listening to podcasts on the flights about, you know, around the GM search. It was right. Obviously, we were hot and heavy in the GM search at this time last year, which seems kind of crazy. But, and you thought, you know, is it Zanuck or somebody else? And all of a sudden, it's John Horst out of nowhere.
Yep, I remember
that. And it was kind of like, and for all intents and purposes, you know, all the on-court stuff that this ownership group has had, it's kind of been bad. I mean, it's you know, the Jason Kidd stuff was not a good look, and the GM search was John Horst out of left field, a cheap hire, a young guy, and, you know, all the speculation and scuttlebutt, as they say, is that, you know, they couldn't decide on somebody, so they went with somebody who they had some level of, you know, familiarity with, and probably somebody that could be a puppet. And here we are with John Horst. So I just don't think it's that difficult. I mean,
so I don't mean to interrupt you, but so do you buy into that Milwaukee is running sort of a controlled media environment? That sort of there isn't enough pressure, that Horst didn't do an exit interview, that does that bother you as someone who loosely covers the team? I mean, you do post-game shows, you've been in the media room before.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that John Horst didn't sort of face the music with an exit interview?
No, not really, because I don't really hate John Horst.
No, but it's not. I know it's not Horst.
I know it does.
It's not Horst.
True. You're right. There was no higher ups really at the exit interviews, I guess you could say.
No, it was with it was with NBA.com.
And I guess if to my point before, if John Horst was the puppet, maybe they should have thrown him out there to the firing squad. Right.
Well, right. But if he's acting like a puppet, if you're saying he's a puppet, then the whole idea is that Horst is getting controlled and they're controlling the message by being on NBA.com.
Yeah.
Now that could be just
that's a controlled.
That's kind of where I'm getting at. Yeah. So I do think, and I said this in winter, we kind of solved this riddle, is Zanuck was a done deal. We're at the goal line and Zanuck kind of came out of left field on his own right and said, "You guys know I'm firing Jason Kidd the first chance I get." Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, we told Jason like that he'd have this job. Like you don't have to listen to anything Jason says, but we want to keep Jason around. And then he's like, well, I don't want the job. I'll go to Utah. I'll just go, you know.
Yeah.
Because he went back, right? He went to Utah.
I believe so. Yeah. Because I mean,
he's like, fuck it.
That cocoon of Utah, while they'll probably never win a championship. Is still a good organization,
and it's a lot of former Milwaukee guys, good basketball minds
and people that seem to run things the right way. It's a great place,
right?
And it's kind of the opposite here. I hate to be that critical, but
yeah,
it's just like
I understand people's frustrations, and then people are like, there needs to be this another cook in the kitchen with the PBO or whatever,
president of basketball operations.
Yeah, I don't buy into that bullshit.
Yeah. I do think that there's some validity to what Wendy said, was it last week, about how the rotational ownership stuff is somewhat of a factor around the league, where it's like, okay, well, you have one owner who's calling the shots, and then, you know, and they already argued about something about the GM this year, right? This past year. And now you have another guy who thinks a different way or whatever. And it's like, what, you know.
Yeah,
this is bullshit.
I think if I were,
if you're a coach, like if you're Mike Budenholzer, who when I say this head coaching search isn't that difficult, I mean, I think that's every Bucks fan would be totally happy with Budenholzer, and he's basically falling in their lap. He's doing everything to be like, okay, Bucks, I want your job, and you can look at my resume, and it's not overly impressive, but he did win 60 games with a team of fringe all stars.
Yep,
and
And he's developed wings out of the, just like crazy.
Yeah.
He's become sort of a wing whisperer, if you will.
Sure. And I mean, so it's kind of falling in their lap, and it's like, again, so if this drags out till this time next week, we're doing a podcast next week, and we will, it's going to be a different tune. We're still relatively early. I mean, they didn't do their first interview till what, Saturday?
Yeah.
So
I think they're going to do a week of interviews, and then I think Budenholzer gets locked in Saturday or Sunday,
mm-hmm.
maybe even Monday.
Who's also a former Spurs assistant coach.
And that's kind of where I'm going to go with this, because I think there's a reason they're interviewing all these different Spurs people. I think they want to learn how the Spurs do it. And I think there is some truth to that. Sometimes you see this with when people interview multiple Patriots coaches in the NFL, is you just want to learn from the best.
Yeah.
The Spurs are the best franchise of the last 20 years. Make no mistake
about it. They are certainly the class of the NBA.
Model of consistency, whether championships, they've won a lot of them.
Right.
They haven't won recently, but still, they are a model
of
consistency.
They won, 2013?
2013, yeah, I guess. So last 5 years.
So, I mean, if you won a champion, I mean, and the impressive thing about that is that I feel like in the NBA in particular, they're just the style of play, fluid, it changes so much. And Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe every sport changes a lot, but they've won multiple championships in multiple eras.
Right. Absolutely. And so,
I mean, they did it in what, the early 2000s?
Right.
They did it in the late 2000s, mm-hmm. and they did it in the early teens.
And they've done it with a very like small market, not making a lot of big free agency splashes right. here and there. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge and a few others, but they haven't really, like, they've done basically what I think the Bucks would hope to do with their franchise. So that's why I think a guy like Budenholzer probably is the man, but I think they would like to get a second Spurs assistant. So whether that's Becky Hammon, yeah. whether that's Messina, Messina may just stay in San Antonio and wait to Greg Popovich. Yeah.
I couldn't see Messina coming to be a top assistant here.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a sideways move.
But, I mean, Becky Hammon, that would be a move up for
right.
her.
Right, and I don't think it's a bad move for the Bucks by any shape of the imagination. Becky Hammon's a good basketball mind. It's clear that yeah. that if the Spurs think she's a good basketball mind, then everyone else should probably think she's a good basketball mind. I get the idea that they're like, well, she should cut her teeth in the league. She should be in the league a little bit more. I vaguely agree with that only because I think there is a very special few who can go into NBA coaching without any experience. Yeah. Brad Stevens is a great example of this.
Yes.
And be fine. But not everybody's Brad Stevens. And right. we've talked about that before, about how right. you cannot use Brad Stevens as an example.
I think that's totally fair to, she's only been an assistant coach for 4 years in the NBA.
Right.
You know, obviously been around basketball her whole life. But yeah, I think that, you know, I would like to, I think a perfect world, she comes in here as a top assistant.
Right.
That's a perfect world. Cause I think as it stands right now, she's probably third or fourth on my list of what I would like to see the head coach.
Sure.
And if you could do that, where you hire Budenholzer, a guy who's somewhat more established, been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
Has somewhat of a track record. And then you get her in here also to be the top assistant. It's a win-win.
Absolutely. And you form a staff around some of his successful Hawks right. assistants and Spurs assistants. And
well,
and
that's the other thing too about the coaching search is like, how many of these current coaches that we don't, I mean, no one said boo about who's been fired or
right.
anything. That's the other side of it.
Yeah.
The just, you know, the apparent dysfunction, you know, so I don't know if maybe, you know, if you can get her in here, that'd be great. But I mean, we don't know how many of those assistants might be forced, you know, they might say, well, the owners, that is, of the Bucks might say, well, we want to keep Sweeney around.
I think it's a complete house.
Which I
claim.
Wouldn't be opposed to, but obviously he would take a significant demotion.
I think it would be a complete house cleaning. I think they're going to clean house. I don't think there's anyone, maybe Prunty stays
well,
as an
obvious,
assistant.
But
because of the Spurs background, and I'm sure him and Budenholzer may have been a coach together. So maybe Prunty stays on as an assistant and goes back because Joe obviously knows he can't be a head coach. So yeah, I don't know. I think they would clean house. I will say this.
Keeping Prunty around would suck.
Okay. I will say this. It's nice to be the Bucks, not the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy went for one more big swing with Blake Griffin. Has now put him in cap hell. Minded you, they drafted Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell. Luke Kennard.
Yep. Like, really?
Yes. It's been made. So World of Isaac, who's a good follow, he does a lot of things for UpRocks and social media. He's made a big deal out of this for a while, and now it's become sort of a local story. Like, hey, they could have Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Donovan Mitchell went 13th,
yeah.
but he's...
Well, Denver drafted him.
Yeah.
Oh. And traded him. For Trey Lyles, who had a good year,
Donovan Mitchell's doing stuff.
He's the next best thing.
Right, and he's doing stuff that I don't think people expected him, and that's kind of changing the narrative on Utah and what Utah can do in the
future. Right,
they
did take one pick before.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Mm.
Oh. Well, and Charlotte took Malik Monk.
But Malik Monk, I still believe in Malik Monk.
Yeah.
As should you. As
Kennard is... the jury's out on him too, but he's not.
Oh, no. He's not going to be Donovan.
I mean, there's 12 teams that passed on Donovan Mitchell.
Sure, Josh Rosen, but at the same, it's the one pick before. It's like, it's just same as the Bucks.
Well, I mean, you can look at 2013 and laugh your ass off at.
2013's a historically bad draft.
And we have the by far the best player.
Yeah.
From said draft. Well, Oladipo's pretty good.
But taking a chance on Giannis when Giannis was in the second league in Greece was a massive chance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, I mean, yeah. So, that, yes.
I mean, you honestly, there will never be a bigger swing for the fences move.
Maybe not. And yes, if you would draft the draft from last year over again, you would be Tatum 1, Donovan Mitchell 2, and then who knows who goes 3 and 4, whatever. So, yes. But going back to that Bucks coaching search, would you go Mitchell over Tatum? You kind of gave me a look.
It's close.
It's really close.
I mean, Tatum, I have tweeted that barring injuries, Tatum's a Hall of Famer, so I guess I'd have to go with it.
Yeah. Jason Tatum.
Of course, that was heat of battle game six, right. I think. And when you watch these guys make these unbelievable fucking shots and just unbelievable crossovers, it's just like, yep, they're depleted. These guys are horrible. You're right.
Speaking of Boston, they've been a wagon. They have to play. They're playing Philly as we tape. We're taping this Wednesday night, so we'll see if it is officially Celtics-Cavs or if we're going to go for a game six. It'd be fun if there was a game six. It'd be fun if there was a game seven. I mean,
it'd be a nightmare if Philly came back and won this series.
I mean, yes, because Philly's been on such a hot streak and Embiid would never stop talking about it.
I was just going to say, no one in the world likes attention more than Joel Embiid.
I think everybody's kind of out on Joel Embiid. Like, you were there early. And I think everybody is slowly but surely like,
just sick of his like bullshit every game. He's got to do something stupid while he's getting rubbed down or whatever.
I only watched maybe a quarter and a half of game four. I was on the treadmill. And Embiid's like talking shit to Marcus Morris, and you're down 3-0. And I don't like Marcus Morris at all. Mm-mm. Like, both him and his brother are fuckboys. Would not say that to their face, but they're fuckboys. So, and I appreciate Morris giving him the 3-0 sign to him, which is good. But Embiid, like, come on, man. Like, you can't do that down 3-0.
No, I agree.
And it's like, the history will be retweeted. Like, what the fuck does that mean, bro? Like, come on. Did you see that shirt? He had, like, this.
No, I don't know.
So, I'm slowly but surely backing out of my Joel Embiid corner.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't say I'm selling all my shares, but I'm selling a few.
Well, brick by brick, Chuck.
Brick by brick, exactly, as they say.
So
yes, it will be interesting. I mean, Shane Larkin's been out with a shoulder injury, missing this game. It's kind of sneaky, a big deal for them because they don't really have a backup point guard now.
So it's smart, right?
It's just smart, and it's Mark Scary smart. Terry. I love Scary Terry.
He's a good player.
He made another joke about Milwaukee, but that's fine.
Yeah, he can stop that at any point.
Terry could get his jokes up. I don't know. I like him. I like Scary Terry.
I would take him.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to get a big offer from somebody as a restricted free agent.
I think he's probably got another year.
No, he's a restricted free agent.
He is.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I heard that.
I could be. You might be right.
Unless somebody's pulling my chain.
I hadn't done that, and I would look hard into that.
I don't know. That's one of those, like, you know, when a guy in the NCAA tournament has a hot streak, like Derek Williams.
Like DJ Wilson?
Yes. Good joke. And yes.
And I don't even think he got a hot streak from him. He made two shots.
He was hot. He had a really good run for Michigan. So what was I going to say? Yes. So we got the NBA playoffs. Cavs already advanced. LeBron's an absolute phenom. That shot he hit in game three, I was like, I looked at Doze, who I was out with at Old German Beer Hall. TV wasn't on both screens for God knows what reason at that establishment. But I look at it and I go, he's going to make this shot. And sure enough, he did.
The runner
he's
banker.
He's amazing, man. He's incredible. And then you get Rockets, Warriors. I'm more of a Team Warriors guy. I said that on Daily Tap today. I'm just kind of the Rockets. Do you like watching the Rockets play basketball?
Not always.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean,
the thing about the Rockets is like, I kind of like, I know how they beat teams.
Right.
They just kind of play status quo in the first half of every game.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second half, it's just three after three after three after fucking three.
Well, and the Warriors kind of do that too.
Yeah. And they bury teams like that. That's how they do it. I mean, they don't lull you to sleep, but they kind of just, they take what you give them in the first half, and they'll probably have a lead or maybe a slight one. And then they just bury you in the second half.
Do you think Marv Albert can keep up with the Rockets Warriors series?
I don't know, man. He did it Pelicans and Warriors, which is also pretty fast.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of threes.
Oh my God.
It's going to be very boring basketball.
What?
I like some dunks mixed in, man.
So you think that, heaven forbid, a 130 to 129 game is going to be boring?
No, that's no. You can score all you want. Just, Jesus, don't take 45 threes both teams, and it's going to happen every game.
All right. Well, officially, this podcast has become old overnight. Mitch would also request that you stay off his lawn.
I understand that you have to that you shoot threes. That's how you win games.
Right.
That's why the Bucks can't win games.
Correct.
So, but I'm just saying that from a merely aesthetic entertainment point of view, yes, that's not, well, not my favorite
thing
in the
world.
We'll
make sure they go into the peach basket, Dr. James. So
yeah, do a little mic and drill.
Okay, yes, a little mic and drill, a little post up, get the triple threat.
I'm still looking at Terry Rozier's contract here, and I believe you are mistaken.
All right.
So he's got another, I believe he's got next year yet, and then will be his.
Yep. All right.
So restricted free agent year.
Just like I was wrong about the fucking Raptors, the Canadian Bucks, as I like to call them. So
this contract appears to be really weird.
That's okay. The Canadian Bucks was wrong about them too.
He wasn't a second round pick, so I don't know why this is. I don't know.
No one gives a shit. We're good.
Well, I'm curious.
Well, I appreciate your curiosity. I always appreciate you. You should never not be curious. That was a double negative. But
didn't you tell me no one gives a shit? All right, let's go. Let's move on.
Oh, I mean, Mitchy, I touched a nerve.
Yeah.
So also touching nerves or not touching anything at all is the Milwaukee Brewers. They struggled today. 14 strikeouts against Carlos Carrasco. And you kind of expected that to come, as you said in a group chat text, because they actually were able to beat Corey Kluber. So it was nice to get a split. You wanted that split because you realize that you're facing guys like Kluber, Carrasco. It might be hard to get that
split. Yeah, you got three runs off Kluber. You started feeling yourself, and then you just get...
And they could have got more.
Humbled old country way.
Not really.
That's been classic Brewers, though. I mean, like the last two seasons, they score two, three runs in the first two innings and just cannot add on. But somehow the pitching holds up and they win the game. I don't know. I'm pissed right now.
So how frustrated are you with the Brewers' offense? Like 1 to 10. Are you a 10?
I'm like, no, not a 10. That would be, it's just like, I don't understand.
So do you think that playing in Coors Field for 4 days could get the bats right? Because maybe. Coors is a great equalizer.
And the Brewers are good on the road.
Right. I'm very interested to see Josh Hader.
As long as he's not playing in Wrigley with the wind blowing in.
I'm very interested to see how Hader does in the Coors environment. Like, he did well against the Indians, who are chock full of guys who can hit lefties, and he dominated them yesterday. But, like, I'm very much looking forward to the Josh Hader-Nolan Arenado showdown. Arenado, one of the best hitters against left-handers. That's like
one of the best players in baseball.
Absolutely. Charlie Blackman will have at least three home runs this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Davies will come off the DL on Friday. Speaking of the DL, it's gotten crowded. My dad's like, yeah, the Brewers are setting a new sabermetric stat for the most mediocre players.
Well,
on
the, and that's the other thing, too, is it apparently took an option for Eric Sogard, an injury to Nick Franklin, to get fucking Jonathan Villar back in the lineup.
I think Jonathan Villar did something stupid.
He must have.
I think he did something really dumb. He violated some team rules. It didn't get out, and they were like, you know what?
Well, he didn't play all weekend.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in the lineup on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so about a 4-game suspension, essentially. Maybe it would have been a 5-gamer had everything stayed well. Nate Orff still can't get called up. I think if I was Nate Orff, I'd be like, just fucking release me at this point. Tyler Saldino gets called up, who is a member of the White Sox. Not too much to get excited about. Wade Miley goes down with an oblique. He knew it right away. I was watching that part of the game, and he just points right to his side, and I'm like, well, that can't be good.
Yeah.
Which probably might have saved the Brewers, because there's no telling Miley couldn't have got blown up against the Indians. So who knows? Maybe it was a good thing Miley got hurt.
Yeah.
Not really.
And then
Franklin's injury,
he like hurt it swinging the bat, and he ran to first and damn near beat out a single.
Great.
And then could not walk.
No, he did beat out the single.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did. You're right. Yeah. And then VR like stole a base, I think.
Gritty.
So gritty, gritty Nicky Franklin right there.
Just a real gym rat.
Did you also hear that?
Very scooter-like of him.
Oh, for sure. Oh, that's true. They also apparently tried to have Nick Franklin be a catcher in spring.
Oh, really?
I thought I heard that.
Maybe. I mean, they need help at the catcher position. I don't know what Jacob Nottingham also has to do. Like,
He's got to hit the ball.
Right, but Jeff Bandy has to hit the ball.
Oh, true.
I mean, Manny Pena has to hit the ball. Manny Pena's defense has been great this year.
You can go up and down the fucking lineup, and everybody got to hit the ball. I mean, Travis Shaw's, what, 6 for his last 50 or something?
Right.
Now he's got a couple homers in there, so it kind of, you don't notice it.
So, yes, I do think that there needs to
Ryan Braun cannot play multiple days in a row.
Right, but
and,
that's...
Like, I know that's he's fine. He's an established hitter.
Right.
But it's kind of like, man, do you think you're helping him or hurting him?
I think that Council, if the bats don't get going in Colorado, and I realize weather could be a factor, whatever.
Granted, the Brewers are 5 games above 500, so right. That's just, I'll take a breath here.
But yeah, sure. But you're right to be frustrated because you're seeing who they face in the next couple weeks. You play a Colorado team who's relatively hot. They got blown out yesterday by the Angels, 8-0. But before that, they had a 6-game winning streak, so they're kind of rolling. Play an Arizona team that's been good all year.
Have not lost a series.
Have they not lost a series yet?
As of Sunday.
Well, they've been playing the Dodgers so fucking much, and they own the Dodgers.
Are just assy.
Yeah, they are assy. And then you get a Twins team who's 500. I thought the Twins were a little better than that. And then you go back to play Arizona, and then 4 games against the Mets.
Be a Twins fan.
The Mets have been assy in the last few weeks, essentially.
Yeah.
And then you get St. Louis back home. So that's
it's
a pretty good stretch, and where you're going to need your offense some games.
It's getting to the point where it's like kind of last year all over again, but we have again more talent.
Well, and I asked that question on Daily Tap.
This is getting to be Bucksy here,
right? And I asked that question on Daily Tap on Monday. Like, are we sure they're good? Like, are we sure that this is a good team?
Right.
And it's worth questioning because it's like, okay, at what point? And maybe it's Memorial Day. Maybe at that point, Council's like, all right, fuck this. Like, we're just going to bring up all these young guys, and we're just going to bring the best players available. We're going to make trades for guys off the bench. And people who are going to start, it's no longer we're going to let you work out of this cold slump. We're riding a hot bat.
Yeah.
Jesus Aguilar, you're hitting the ball really well. You're staying in the order. And maybe
I feel like that would take that's a pretty significant change in philosophy for
a little bit
for Kregers.
But you can't keep doing these Saladino, Sogard, Orf even. Like, it's such a shame Dubon tore his ACL because Dubon was probably coming up.
Yeah.
Like, Dubon was probably the guy that they were going
to
come
up. I think McKelvey had that he was set to go.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Or, I mean, he was.
That was pretty much the assumption?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you just would have not waited the week, maybe he doesn't tear. I know that's such a revisionist history,
yeah.
But if you would have took a little less time, he may have been.
Yeah,
because
he'd have
already
been riding the fucking bench up here.
Doesn't matter. At least
he would have been though, and like that's kind of against your point. But yeah, that's probably what it would have been.
But the thing is like the Brewers at some
let
point
him soak it all in.
Have to re-examine their philosophy and say, all right, how do we fix this offense? Is it a trade? You know, I mentioned on Daily Tap Manny Machado. I don't think that's going to happen, especially with the Dubon injury. But where can they upgrade? They can upgrade at second base. Is Jed Lowry a possibility? Jed Lowry's been hitting the cover off the ball for a marginal A's team and who would probably take prospects. Is Cesar Hernandez an option? Now, the Phillies are playing pretty well, but Cesar Hernandez is as good of a leadoff hitter, very underrated, but is just produces, and he's a switch hitter, and he's fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the type of guy where you knock everybody down in the lineup, and you're okay with it. I mean, if you had Hernandez and Yelich setting the table for Lorenzo Cain, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
well, and what point do you think about Darnell Coles?
I think the question has to be raised.
I don't think he's invincible anymore.
No.
I mean, after the team struggled in the second half last year, and clearly the offense, they're like 27th in runs right now, and team average is like 25th, like 230 as a team.
Right, and you juxtapose that against what Derek Johnson continues to do, and
right,
Derek Johnson continues to be fantastic. I mean, you know, even though Junior Garrett had one bad pitch tonight. He has the pitch to Naquin. He was battling with him. And he left a splitter over the plate, and Naquin slugged it. I don't know how many strikeouts he finished with, but he had 7.
9, I
he
think.
Had 9?
Yeah.
So like, Guerra didn't necessarily pitch bad. He made one bad mistake, and it was a 3-run homer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take that away, and you're okay. I realize that's, once again, a little armchair quarterback. But Johnson's done a pretty good job with rotation and especially the bullpen.
Yeah, no,
I mean, the bullpen's been terrific.
You really – and you have a larger sample size of good – you know, play under Derek Johnson.
Right. And
a season and a half, two and a half seasons maybe?
Right. And it doesn't seem like guys are progressing. You know, it doesn't seem like anyone's really sort of taking that next step with Darnell Coles. You know, whether Domingo Santana's all screwed up because he, you know, was thinking he's going to get traded. He doesn't know when he's going to be in the rotation, the order, how it's going to go. If I was counsel, what I would maybe do, in especially in a place like Colorado, I may shake up the lineup a little bit. I may, you know, bat Travis Shaw fifth or bat Travis Shaw third, or, you know, Yelich lead off or Kane hitting in the three spot. Do something a little different to sort of kind of revive the offense a bit, because I do think Colorado is a place where you can get right. Now, what's unfortunate is Arizona has that humidor, so balls aren't really flying out of there like they used to.
Colorado or Arizona?
Arizona.
They have a humidor?
Yeah, they added a humidor.
So Colorado and Arizona have.
Colorado? No, I don't think you could add Colorado a humidor.
They have the.
They have the balls.
The balls that they put in.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you can still have. I mean, there may not be the intense, like, 12-11 games, but you can still put up some runs in Colorado.
Yeah, I know.
But it's more Arizona, yes, has become more of a pitcher's park in the last, like, which probably bodes well for the Brewers. And then Minnesota, they've had decent success in all three parks. I mean, it's ebbed and flowed like anything on the road. None, I would say, are house of horrors.
I said a 7-game road trip in the open. It is a 10-game. But
the West Coast is a little different than the Minnesota part.
Yeah, we can argue that. Yeah,
it's like, okay, so you just in those 7 games, you'd like to be 4-3 or 3-4 heading to Minnesota.
Yeah,
and then give that opportunity to potentially get you just want to be 500. If you're if they are 5 games over. Heading back to face Arizona next Monday, 2 Mondays from now, I'm perfectly content. I'm happy as a baby. So we'll see. We'll see what they do with their long road trip. Definitely don't want to get off to a start like they did with the Cubs. They've been having some trouble on the weekend. So you'd like, hopefully they start off on the right foot tonight. So moving forward, the Milwaukee has added a strip club downtown.
Yeah.
And it was unbeknownst to me, you sent it into a group chat a few days ago, and not that you're like searching you don't have Google alerts for strip clubs.
No, I don't. But
so tell people kind of how you just discovered this.
So I was like the other night, I think it was like Monday night or something, I was just sitting on Snapchat. You know how you can pull the map up?
Yeah, it's a little creepy, but I hear you.
You know, you can just like click around, right?
Sure.
And I don't know how it works, but whatever, I don't know if your story is completely public.
Must be.
Or what, but I hit something near downtown, and there was a video story, somebody being like, coming soon, or I don't know if it was, you know, it's about to be open or something. It was like a place with had like two, you know, like black shutters or whatever,
right.
And it looked like it had like an S logo, and I was like, what the hell? So I Googled like Silk Milwaukee or something.
Yeah.
And it said, and I found like a Facebook event for the grand opening, May 10th. And I'm like, no shit.
Oh, that's crazy.
No way.
That is crazy.
Because they've been trying for so many years.
Yes.
So I mean, they've been trying for 10 years.
It's been about 10 years. It's going to be off the beaten path of 3rd Street. So it's not going to be in the heart of 3rd Street. It's not going to be by who's on 3rd. It's like 2 or 3 blocks away. It's not. I wouldn't say the area is maybe the greatest. It's not one that I think you go out in.
There's just nothing over there.
Yeah, right. And not that you'll be in danger.
There's like a rent-a-car place over there, and George Webb's over there, I think.
And I think as strip clubs are very important with first impressions, because males will keep coming back if they have a good time the first time around. So I think out the door, you're going to hear glowing reviews from everybody who goes. I guarantee you this, that people will be like, and if they don't, they're fucked because no one will go.
Yeah.
Because it is all word of mouth. Strip clubs are one of those things that you're not just going to go on a random Tuesday because you're curious.
Yeah.
Your buddy or your work friend is going to be like, yeah, we ended up at Silk somehow in downtown, and it was actually a pretty cool spot. We had a good time. And so we'll see if that actually happens. And it's smart for them to do it to start right before summer gets in the full swing. Makes a ton of sense. It's really actually a smart move, business move on their behalf.
Yeah.
So, but they have to actually keep their nose clean, make it seem safe, and obviously provide a good experience in those first couple months.
Right.
Then you can kind of, you know, pay it, I would say, like slack off, but you can definitely have a different environment come fall, come winter.
And if there's, obviously if there's riffraff or whatever that comes in because of it, then It might struggle.
Right. And it proves everybody's point that said we can't do a strip club here because we worry about the crowds it's going to bring in. And I don't know how much true is that. I mean, it's strip clubs are one of those places where sometimes you can see some shady creatures.
It's all walks of life for the most part.
It literally is. It's all walks of life.
Right.
So you can see your boss.
We all bleed the same blood.
Exactly. It's all red-blooded, usually males. But every now and again, you get a few females who enjoy the strip club scene. But yes, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in terms of that establishment.
Sure. And as we alluded to in the beginning of this podcast, if you connect the dots, I mean, maybe that's something that is being put in place so that it is established as the Milwaukee Bucks make their push for the NBA All-Star Game, which obviously you hate to say it, but it's a type of environment that is, you know, conducive to, you know,
yes,
a professional athlete.
Right, and professional athletes enjoy strip clubs, so it's like, hey.
I mean, NBA All-Star Game is, your city turns into Vegas, basically,
right,
for the weekend.
It's just a big thirst trap across the board.
Right, let's just put it this way. It wouldn't be a normal weekend at Silk Exotic in Milwaukee.
Oh, no.
It would be, like
no,
I said.
The talent would be top-notch.
When I say Vegas, I mean the whole experience.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
The bar. I mean, you'd have places like McGillicuddy's probably doing like a $50 cover.
Right, and I'd laugh at them and maybe pee on their building.
And just get ready.
No, I agree. I'll also be, if when they get an All-Star game, I may be with child and in the suburbs at that point and washed up to all stents of the word. So, I mean, that's like 6 or 7 years down the road, pal. Like
yeah,
it'll be a while before we get a
strip. I don't know if it'll be that long.
But to that point, though, same with like Alex Lazary applied for the Democratic National Convention, was part of a group that applied to have the DNC here in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The DNC, kind of in that same way, it's not necessarily Vegas.
No,
but it's such a huge event.
It's right. All eyes are on your city.
Absolutely. And you're telling me that like people like Northwestern Mutual host annual meetings and you have all these slicksters with their back. You're telling me those guys
That's true, though, that the NM weekend or whatever.
Yeah,
is huge.
NM week. I mean, yeah. So it's that all of those things encompassing it is like,
not that you would know.
No, that sucked. I hated it. It was like literally the most uncomfortable thing, but that's a podcast for another time. Mm-hmm. I preach that I don't talk day job stuff, but that may have been a week that I really hated life. So anyways, yes, I think it's good for Milwaukee. I don't know how much I care. Like it's there, but I'm not like going to,
right,
rush out on Saturday and be like, hey, let's go check out the strip club.
Right, no. No, I'm going to let that die for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be popular you're right. That's another thing. It's going to be really popular for a few weeks, especially if word of mouth is positive.
Well, and then you're going to get all the Chads, too, going.
Oh, yeah. The Chads and Brads will be like,
the Chads and Brads are going to be hitting it up.
I had such a good time. Like, your titties were all in my face, dude. Like, that's going to be, I mean, it's going to be very, very popular. I guarantee you, though, we'll go the Cruising Chubbies method. Shout out to them.
So, she bought me this, too.
Stop. What is wrong with you?
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits,
oh,
you know what I'm saying?
The best. But no, I guarantee you they will go with the Cruising Chubbies method of bringing in top-tier talent just for the summer. They will bring in summer-only talent because that's what makes Cruising Chubbies great. Like, people, and if you haven't visited if you not paid a visit to Cruising Chubbies in Juneau, Wisconsin, on a Wisconsin Dells trip, you're doing the Wisconsin Dells all wrong.
Yeah.
It's a great establishment for where it's located in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, and really only is that because it's
the
in Dells. The summer.
Yeah, it's a tour.
And it's in the summer.
Yeah.
If we're going there in the winter, I guarantee you the women are not anywhere near that level.
Right.
So that's what I think Silk will also do.
Probably.
And they'll bring their...
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to open it with a bang, probably.
Imagine if you're a stripper at the Silver Spring location.
Open it with a bang. That's kind of...
Yeah. I guess and you think you're going to get called up, because I feel like downtown Milwaukee's like the big leagues.
Yeah.
So you're in AAA, you're minding your business, you're doing well. I mean, that has to be a blow to the ego. You know strippers have egos.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
That has to be a blow to the ego.
Right.
If you do not get called up to the Milwaukee Silk.
To the downtown.
The downtown district.
Right.
Like, Cinnamon, we're keeping you here. We want you. We think you show great potential.
Right.
But you're just not there yet.
It's AAA out there.
It is.
On Lover's Lane.
Oh, yeah, because it takes, not that I would know, it takes forever to get the fuck out there.
Yeah.
But like I said, not that I would know.
Right.
So where are we at with podcasts?
We are getting there. We're at the 40-minute mark.
40-minute mark. You have any other topics you're burning on?
Well, the apparently Rodgers is close to an extension.
He is close to an extension.
Close.
So they think that it's going to happen.
And it will reportedly make him the highest paid player.
I'm shocked. I mean, Peter King has...
But that wasn't what the holdup was, according to Aaron Rodgers.
What is the holdup?
Well, didn't he say that, oh, I don't need to be the highest paid player?
Right.
It's like, well, what the fuck are we waiting for then? And now... He's going to be the highest paid player, well, reportedly.
That'll always be the case. Right. And I think that...
Well, I'm not shaming him.
No. You know. And actually, Peter King did a really good job.
Just don't piss down my leg and tell me it's raining.
Sure. Don't piss up the rope, right? As, what was his name?
Brian Price. Yeah, that's not correctly used.
But
pissing up a rope means you can't win.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I screwed up. You always say I screwed up? I screwed up.
I got to go for that one.
Yeah, huh? I know. And I got to sneeze too. So
I don't know what else I can say. And if you want me to say I fucked up, I fucked up.
It's like me picking the... Oh, yeah.
There we go.
There it is.
Now we got it.
There it is. I was like, oh, I beat it. And then no.
I don't know what else I can say.
Sneezing is undefeated.
Yes, it is.
So anyways, the idea of, yes, Rodgers is close. I think, but Peter King made, what I was getting to was Peter King made the point about how these quarterback contracts are kind of funny money, because he did like the math with the Matt Ryan deal, and Matt Ryan only counts about 10% to the cap for the next 3 years. So it's only 10% of your cap. It doesn't completely kill your cap. Like, I feel like that.
And I do believe, along with your point, Pete Doherty, I believe, also broke it down that in like 3 years or whatever, the cap's probably going to go up so much that Rodgers is only going to be 14% of the cap, and he's right now he's like 13.
Yeah, and so it's a moot point.
Pretty much.
And this is that's my favorite thing about pinheads, though, because pinheads don't actually understand how math works, they just look at big numbers, and they're like, whoa, this big number.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you fucking idiot. Like, these guys are smart for a reason. They're not going to just throw out a number and not think about every intricate detail that goes into it. That's why Sam Shields got paid up front. Like, there is ways to
this like average annual salary.
Yeah, not everyone's a dumbass like Doug Melvin and backloads a contract like he did with Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
We can argue if that was a good or bad thing.
Yeah. Well.
But Ryan Braun forever. So
I think he backloaded that because he didn't think Prince would stab us in the back like he did.
That's a possibility. But
not that he did it, but
right. But to my point,
his fucking agent did.
Right. Yeah. Fuck him. To my point, it's like these guys think about all this. So big numbers should not concern you.
And the other thing pinheads can't do is they can't get over that people get paid to play sports.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
we should just.
That's never going
to
go away.
That would actually be a great, like, middle of June when we just have no topics. Just do, like, a top 10 of what pinheads can't understand.
Right.
Across the sports. Like, Packer pinheads are the worst. But Bucks pinheads are developing with that Westbrook shit.
I don't know. And this might be the same but different. Like they can't understand that people get paid to play sports, and they also can't understand that there's shitty things about playing sports for a living. Is that two different things?
What do you mean by shitty things?
Like, you know, Lucroy a couple years ago came out and said, like, yeah, there's some stuff that sucks about playing baseball.
Oh.
People just fucking lost it, and it's like, yeah, you're at, dude, they are there for 12 hours a day.
Well, I lost it on
for 162 fucking days straight, basically.
I lost it on Jonathan Lucroy because he showed himself to be the fraud that I thought he was. So
true.
It proved my point about everything I said about Jonathan Lucroy, that this guy was fake nice, and I knew it from the fucking start.
Well, that doesn't mean he's a dickhead. It's just
he's a dickhead.
He's pointing out that, and I don't blame him.
He's a dickhead.
Those guys get there at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game and don't leave until 11 or 12.
No, it's annoying. I would be annoyed too. I get what you're saying. Yeah, they're like a second shift worker, essentially.
Fucking every day.
It's like, I go to the factory and work from 2 to 11. Well, guess what, bud? They do the same fucking thing.
Exactly. They don't show up at 6:50 for a 7:10 first pitch and go right in their car off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, they shower and probably get post-game tapes and whatever and ice and
DMs,
you know,
from
check the DMs,
women.
Check the DMs, check the House of Highlights.
Exactly.
And, you know, basically, then they get out of there. They do their media, and then they get out of there.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a grind.
Yeah.
And people just sometimes don't really necessarily understand that.
Right.
And they can't see that. Well, you get paid $1 million.
But see, I think but I think like that's like I think social media has completely just changed how we look at everything, and it just everything's this instant reaction, and we don't take a step back to be like, all right, well maybe, you know, or
right,
let's think about this, or maybe there's a gray area. It's everything is black and white. Everything is down the fucking middle.
Right.
No, or everything's not, you know,
nothing's down the middle.
Nothing is down the middle. It is all black and white. All right. We're going to be back next week. We'll see how the Brewers did. We'll see if the Bucks have a new coach. Stick with Daily Tap. We'll obviously be updating as it goes on. We'll be into the throes of the conference finals. Whole host of things to talk about. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. You guys can follow us on SnowTapWI all over the place. Mitch Ross on the Twitters. Subscribe and download. We will talk next week. See you.
Peace.